All righty, let's get right back over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 in our series, Rediscovering the Glory. Rediscovering the Glory. Who remembers where we were in Romans chapter 8? Thank you for all of that enthusiasm. Praise the Lord. I know, you got to get to your notes, right? Verse 20, Romans chapter 8, verse 20. I went back, of course, to a couple of verses. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We will just go back to verse 17. Hallelujah. Well, we go back to verse 16. Well, we'll go back to verse 15. Praise God. I quit looking up, and that way we'll stop at verse 15. Verse 15 says, the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship. Say, producing sonship. In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. So there is supposed to be a bliss involved or connected to what opportunity we have in being transformed or having sonship produced in us. There is a bliss involved. How many of you know that you enter into the bliss of that by faith? There are some things that are not easy on the flesh. Most of the things of God are not easy on the flesh. But there are some things that can be very difficult. But when we accept the plan of God by faith and we begin to meditate in that and give ourselves to it, what we find is that we come to a place of bliss in the process of our transformation. Our being renewed in the spirit of our mind and being transformed into the very likeness of Jesus. Oh yeah, there's work involved in it. There's some tough things involved in it. You know, because in a sense we are coming out in our experience in Christ. But that scripture right there assures us that there is a place of bliss in this process. But now that becomes bliss because of my agreement with the process. It becomes blissful. It becomes something, you know, if you can imagine it, at some point in Paul's experience, he began to just, I mean, when he said, give God thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus, you have to realize that in his experience, he didn't just always give God, and he had to grow in it just like we do, but he didn't always give God thanks in that, you know, just out of obedience to the revelation, but he got to a place where he worshiped God in it, in various situations and places. He worshiped God in it. Well, why would you do that, Pastor, if you're going through something very difficult in your life? You know, it could, if you're not careful, you could get into sin, you could fail, and all this kind of thing. Why would you worship God in it? Well, the worship, again, is an extension or of your faith, isn't it? Because, you know, you worship God because you have a faith and belief in him, right? So, you know, despite what it is, we worship him. We show him that, you know, God, things might be crazy, but, you know, you're still God and I still love you. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to serve you. I'm still your man. I'm still your daughter or son, whatever, you know. And nothing's changed here. I just want you to know. Praise God. Amen. So we can worship God in that area of giving him thanks. Glory to God. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. Praise God. All right. Now, let's see. Verse 16. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God, assuring us that we are. Do we need to be assured that we are the children of God? Evidently, because that's what the Spirit's doing. Yeah? Evidently. Right? Because He assures us and He identifies with our born-again regenerate spirit. He connects with that, assuring us that we are the children of God. Verse 17. So some things can happen in life, some experiences, some persecution, some hardship, some trials. Various things can happen that makes you think, man, God, whew, am I even saved? Yeah. You know. But the Holy Spirit is there to assure us of who we are. That's very important. We stay mindful of who we are. Verse 17, and if we are His children, then we are His heirs also. Well, in order for me to enjoy what belongs to me, I've got to settle it. I've got to accept the fact that I am His. Right? The world is constantly being impelled to a place of poverty. I mean, recently in the news, Greece has had problems with their economy. You know, you've heard good and bad things about China. You know, it seems like they're just bustling, and yet you hear other things about them as well that doesn't look good. The nations of the world, because no matter what technology, no matter what new thing there might be that's going on that's bringing prosperity, you know, they're still not prospering on the level that they need to as a country to meet the needs of the people in their lands. They're just not doing it. There's still great poverty and, you know, and folk not having access to a good education. There's all kinds of things that are happening. Those things are there and they're a reality, you know, because nations are not moving into the place of sonship before God. Nations are not. See, that's where true prosperity comes from. Lasting prosperity. Amen. Enduring prosperity. Right? And see, the Bible says, and we just read it during worship, and out of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And darkness has come upon, you know, the people, and gross darkness upon them. You know, deep darkness has come upon them. This is in our world today. But He said, first of all, you arise. Amen. You shine, for your light has come. Yes. Right? See, you can arise in the midst of the gross and the deep darkness that's upon the nations, and you can shine because, see, your son, you're in a place where you are an heir with Christ Jesus. And that means what the world is striving for is coming. It's being added to you because you're putting the kingdom first. It's just being added to you. Right? How many of you went through what was called recession and you didn't have it? You went through this period of recession and you didn't have it. I didn't have it. I didn't have it, you know. I did not miss a beat. I didn't lose, and I kept winning, gained. I'm better off today than I was, you know. I'm going on because I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And there's no recession in my inheritance. No recession in heaven, no downturn. No losing of points on God's stock market. Amen, on God's AP, whatever. There's nothing being lost, right? And so that's where we are. So the economy is good in the kingdom. But you've got to do what's necessary in order for you to enjoy that economy, and that involves your tithes. Right? You can't eat your tithes. If you eat your tithes, then you get to experience what the world is experiencing. That's right? And then the light that is on you becomes darkness. See, there could not have been a curse if Adam had not have disobeyed God and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There couldn't have been any curse. There was no curse. There was no curse. See? Even though the earth was void, without form, and darkness lay upon the deep, there was no curse. His disobedience caused the blessing in him to become a curse. See? That which was the blessing in him became that which was the downfall. Amen. Wouldn't it be interesting for you and I to find out how much progress Adam made out of Eden in the world before that happened? Just had that thought, you know, just came to me in a microsecond. You know, how much territory did he replenish before he failed? Some of us never see him out of the garden. We don't see him as having made much progress. I believe he did. Yeah, I believe he made some progress. Some of us see it in such a limited way. In 1 week, God created the heavens and the earth and everything. Adam is placed in Eve, and it was just next week he messed up. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe he made great progress. I do. I believe he made great progress. And a lot of the progress I believe he made was throughout the continent of Africa, in that whole region. Why do you say that? Because I believe the devil remembers where he did the most good, and that's why they have the most trouble. Hallelujah, that's great riches and wealth on that continent. Diamonds, gold, I mean, that hasn't even been mined. And they're just a fierce hatred, you know, that just keeps them from prospering. And it won't happen until they dedicate themselves to God and make a commitment and enter into covenant with God. If they would just do that as a people, they could bring down all of the crime and the murder and the rape and everything that's going on. Because the Lord will rebuke the devourer for their sakes. That's true. I really believe that. And I believe that something in this way can happen before Jesus comes back and before the culmination of the end is fulfilled and we see him ruling and reigning in the earth. I believe that a lot of this stuff can happen. As a matter of fact, there are scriptures that allude to the fact that before Jesus comes back, that the earth would be like the garden of God. Haven't you read it? This is very possible. Amen. God's not in a hurry to bring judgment. Have you noticed? If he was, you and I wouldn't be here. One thing that's refreshing about church is that I just repented. Just recently. No, he's not in a hurry to bring judgment because he knows your potential. God knows your potential. I heard something this weekend that was just awesome, and that was, but God is not obligated to fulfill your potential for you. Isn't that awesome? No, God's not obligated to fulfill your potential for you. You have potential. How much potential do you have? How much? How much potential do you have? Huh? Think about it. How much potential do you have? In Christ, all things are possible. I can do all things to him who loved me and gave himself for me. I can do all things. All things are possible to him that believeth. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. All of these scriptures are referring to your potential. And you and I are the ones that are obligated to see it come to the fruition. And God knows that better than we do, so he's not in a hurry to bring judgment when he haven't even seen you get out of your Pampers yet. I'd like to see you walk. He'd like to see you get off the bottle. Eat some meat. Go shopping with him. Amen. and establish something. You know, God would love for you and I to go shopping with him. Where does God shop? Huh? Some of you, Perimeter Mall? That's what you're thinking. Out there where those big, expensive, ritzy stores are. That's where God shops. Man, that's a rummage sale to God.
Amen.
That's a rummage sale. That's a yard sale to God.
Amen.
See, God's got everything. He's in need of nothing. He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't tell you. So where does he shop? Where is it? Everything's already with him. But the reason we need to go shop with God is because we have the responsibility of replenishing the earth. Right? So we get a view of heaven so that we can dispense it upon earth.
Amen.
That's where the glory is. It comes in and is involved. See? That's where the glory comes in and is involved. When you're walking in the glory, you're in a place where you can see what is with God. But not only do you see what is with God, you see God's desire for what is with him to be with you. That's what you see. And you know, you get that bit by bit because, and the reason you get it bit by bit is because all of the other stuff that you're looking at concerns you. And as long as you're looking at all of the stuff that concerns you, you can't see, you know, this great and marvelous storehouse of blessings that God wants you to see and to receive from him and transmit it into your earth, into your world. Adam, replenish the earth. Supply. Bring supply to it. Bless it. Restore it. That hadn't changed. See, that has not changed. So Adam had to be visited by God on a constant basis so that God could transfer stuff to him so that he could see, you know, Adam got the stuff. Eden was like heaven on earth. Eden was like heaven on earth. There was nothing in Eden but blessing, provision, wealth. See? So, again, I'll say it again. When Adam was created, he wasn't created in Eden. He was created in Oconee County, South Carolina, right? In red dirt over here in tough soil, right? And then God picked him up and they made the trek across the earth back over to Israel to Eden, where he wanted him to start. But he had to lead him see the impoverishment and the poverty and the depravity that you might say was in the world, because it was void and without form. The darkness was lifted, right? God brought some form to it because he said, let the waters be gathered up over here and let the dry land appear. And then he said, let, you know, some of this water be gathered up into the heavens, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, so God brought some form back to it, but it still needed to be blessed. It still needed to be replenished. All right, so, you know, he took him from over here on Perry Hill where I was born, where I was raised. You know, he brought him from over there on Perry Hill where I was raised in Seneca, South Carolina, and took him back over there. And he said, now, I need you to get this over there. Right? I need you to get it over there. Now, see this in a supernatural way. If Adam was still walking in obedience to God like he was supposed to and had never failed, over on Sloan Street on Perry Hill where I was raised, as a believer, Adam would just have to think toward me. I'd get the vision. And I would make Sloan Street just as glorious as the Eden where he was living. As a believer, my street would have become glorious. And if you were a believer across the street, you could do the same thing. But if you weren't a believer, then you'd look over there at me and desire what I had. You see my glory. And you would desire what I have. So you have to come across the street to talk to me. See, it's not, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and everything like that, you know. But do you know that if the glory is operating on your life like it should, they'll seek you out. They'll cut down your travel time. If we operate in the glory as God has determined, we're going, listen, why that should that be a stretch? God is doing stuff and he's a long way from him. See? From his throne in glory, God is doing great things in the earth realm because he's and he's not just going to meet needs in places, he's communicating to his people, and his people get the vision and they go do it. Amen. Amen. That's why it's so exciting for Jordania to be involved in missions, fulfilling her call in missions. Because you're just hearing from heaven and it's being developed in your heart. And there you go, obeying God, and God accomplishes something through you, through simple obedience. And I'm telling you, that simple obedience in that she's doing can lead to great things, can lead to phenomenal opportunities and great things in the world. And it'll be attributed to her, and she'll attribute it to God and point people to God and help them to realize that this all began with a seed of the word of God that was planted in me, like Adam thinking toward me, on Sloan Street, Perry Hill, Seneca, South Carolina. Just the thought. God said, I won't do anything in the earth realm except I first make my prophets aware of it. See, when you go to a person or a people and you say to them, you know, the curse has been broken. Yeah, the curse has been broken. It's been done away. And now God is releasing blessing. What are you doing? You're prophesying to them. They've got to catch your word. Faith comes by hearing. See, if they hear it, faith is created, they grasp it, then they're blessed. Same process with everybody. It's the same process with you. I hear it. I believe it. I confess it. I walk into it. My life conforms to that word. My lifestyle conforms to that word. And then I begin to be a doer of that word. And God gives me corresponding results and signs, wonders, and miracles. Provision. Supernatural. Right? See, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say that. Say that to your neighbor. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. That's right. That's why God wants to prosper you. Amen? Praise God. If the body of Christ gets it, and we really begin to get it now because we like to celebrate this kind of stuff in church. That's what we like to do. But when we really get it, then we've got something tangible to take to people. And we're not just going out there. See, a lot of us like to go out and talk about God to people, but we don't have nothing tangible to give them. We talk to them about it, but we don't have anything tangible to give them. Right? I mean, the man said, alms, alms, alms. Peter looked at the man and said, silver and gold I don't have. In other words, I didn't bring my wallet. Dadgummit, I didn't bring my pouch. But such as I have, I give you. Reached out, grabbed him by the hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, be well. And he pulled the man up. He pulled him up. The man didn't get up on his own. Peter grabbed that fella and pulled him up in his faith, and that fella caught it as he came up, and he was strengthening his legs, and he was able to walk. And he went leaping and dancing and praising God into the temple, and it got Peter and him beat up. Amen. Let's don't leave out that part. Amen. Yeah, because when you are tangibly giving people what they need, the devil hates it. And so he stirs up trouble against you. And that's where the word of Paul comes in, where he says, rejoice in all things. Give God thanks in all things. And again, I say, rejoice. 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 Rejoice, for this is the will of God concerning you. See, it confuses the kingdom of darkness when you begin to rejoice and praise God in the midst of their attack on you. Yeah. It confuses the devil. He don't know what to do with that. You're not supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be in fear. You're supposed to be afraid. You're supposed to be dreading it and complaining against God. Hit him again and see what he says. His praise is still coming out. You're not hitting him hard enough. Hit him again. I don't understand this. Now he's on the organ. Wait a minute. He moved from the organ and he went to the drums. He can't play drums. What's going on? I don't understand it. We're being confused. They're giving God thanks and all thanks. This is ridiculous. Now he's got the pastor's guitar. I don't understand it. Yeah, see, it confuses the kingdom of darkness. And I think it's necessary for the kingdom of darkness to be confused like that, simply because God will bring provision to you as you go into the warfare of praise and worship. He will bring provision to you. See, some of the provision that you need is going to come on the skirts of praise and worship. Right? You know what? When you look at need and you look at want and you look at what you don't have, or even a lack of provision in ministry, most of the temptation is to complain. God, you called me to do this, but you ain't providing. You know, how can you tell God that he's not providing? Boy, that's bold. How can you say stuff to God like that? He is provision. He's Jehovah, what? Jireh? The Lord who sees and provides? That's who he is. You telling God that he's not, and he said, I am. I am. That's what he said. He never said, I'm not. He said, you tell him, I am. And I am. I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. That's the translation. Amen. So he is provision. Amen. Keith Moore says it like this. He am. He am what? He all that you ever need. That's who he is. He's the great I am. The great I am. So we look to you, the great I am. In all of our life's places of dryness and need and disappointment, we look to you, the great I am, and we receive who you are at the point of our need, at the very place of our desire, our want. We look to you, the great I am, and we receive you, the great I am. Right there. We receive you because you are what we need. Do you realize that one of the reasons why it was prophesied, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute his sin? One of the reasons for that is that if he imputed your sin upon you, if he condemned you, you couldn't receive him. You couldn't receive him because you'd be cursed. And God can't unite himself to a curse. He can't unite himself to condemnation. So he provided an everlasting, redemptive salvation and repentant place for us to dwell in so that he could continue to be I am to us. Say, I am to me. You're I am to me. I know who you are. You're I am to me. That's a good little place there to just shout Amen. Have a little Pentecostal fit. Praise the Lord. Where were I? What was I at there? Verse 17 again. If you are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing. I like it when people share. Don't you like it when people share? Amen. Let's share with one another. I like sharing. Praise the Lord. How could you cook a homemade banana pudding and keep it all to yourself? How could you? Now, you see, I know when I'm going to come into the presence of a person that has this revelation of I am. Because this person is not going to use shortcuts to get me by banana pudding. They're not going to use shortcuts. They're going to actually go through the whole process of using the eggs. Amen. What else, sweetheart? They're going to use some type of, what is it? Is it eagle milk, eagle cream? What do they use for it? Y'all had cow milk? Was that good? I wasn't raised with it. Was that good? All right then. I know I'm going to come into the presence of a person that knows the great I am. When they will use the eggs, they will use the cow milk. Amen. They're going to use the right cookies. Amen. They're going to use good tasting bananas. Amen. And it's going to be baked in the oven. It's not going to be made on top of the stove and left out on top. It's going to be go into the oven for a season. Now, see, that's homemade banana pudding. There's people making all of this stuff, you know, cream, a little banana, and some sugar cookies. And making masses of people mad. And many of them don't know what a genuine, original, homemade, baked banana pudding even tastes like. And they think they're having something good, just like people getting macaroni and cheese out of a box because it's got orange coloring on it. And they talk about it like it is the best thing you ever ate. Man, you don't know the great I am. You got artificial religion. You understand what I'm saying? Anyone who has experienced what true macaroni and cheese is like, that has experienced what true banana pudding is like, knows what I'm talking about. It's just like those Jews when they rebuilt the temple and it didn't come up to the same glory that it had during the time of Solomon. There was people rejoicing because they got it built, but the old guys are looking at it weeping. I'm one of the old guys. He young man, but he got an old soul. Amen. The transition began when he was in his teens, and he never have gotten back to it since. Praise God. But we're going to find that person that knows the great I am. Abraham needed to come in contact with Melchizedek. He needed Melchizedek to come out and to bless him. What did they say to him? Possessor of heaven and earth. He was speaking in revelation. Here's a man that is the closest human being to be like Adam was, standing before me. And he's the possessor of heaven and earth. God made promises to Abraham. Amen. He made promise. He preached the gospel to him. And Abraham was walking around in a covenant with God that you couldn't call old. Amen. It was just between him and God. The people of God hadn't even come forth as a people of God. So you couldn't call this old. This was a covenant between God and man, just like God had covenant between him and Adam. Possessor of heaven and earth. You see, a lack of revelation keeps us in a place where we don't realize that you and I have even got authority in heaven. Well, where is Jesus seated if it's not a place and a seat of authority? And why would he say you're seated with him if your seat's supposed to be different? You ain't sitting on no lawn chair, baby. Amen. You ain't sitting on no lawn chair that you got down at Walmart just waiting for them to go down because them things regular price all summer long. So I'm waiting to get me a deal. Amen. That's what most people do. And Walmart puts up clearance on them before they even are clearance, just trying to sell them at about $5 cheaper than what they are at regular price. Amen. Am I prophesying to you? Praise the Lord. No, you're seated with him in the place of authority. And you can do exactly the same thing that Jesus can do. Somebody say that's the place of glory. Yes, that's a place of glory. You can do the same thing that Jesus can do. The interesting thing is you can do what Jesus did. And he said, you're going to do what I've done. But even greater things than these shall you do. Well, the greater things is you being able to do what he can do now. Yeah. He's the captain of the Lord's host. He commands angel armies. Oh, I'm giving you something to just help you to just get a peek into the place of glory. You know, because we're supposed to be releasing angel armies against ISIS, not trying to create a weapon, a bomb, a new jet. We're supposed to be releasing angel armies. Jesus went out against the enemies of Israel with a sword in his hand. And he was suspended between heaven and earth, and Joshua saw him. Joshua was so stirred up, he overlooked the fact that that could have been the Lord himself. He said, are you with us or against us? I mean, he was fired up. He was out there. Oh, Joshua was out there in obedience to God, tearing the devil to pieces. And it didn't even scare him when he saw the Lord suspended between heaven and earth with a sword in his hand. He's like, did you come to help us or are you against us? Woo, glory. He got caught up in the glory. That's the way we're supposed to be because we can do what Jesus can do. Amen. We're supposed to be levitating, glory to God. We're supposed to be getting up in between heaven and earth with Jesus and commanding. And I mean, my God, even in natural forces on earth, you got generals. You've got colonels. You've got majors. You've got captains. You've got lieutenants. You've got first sergeants. You got sergeants of the fifth order, sergeants under them. You got squad leaders, you got platoon leaders, and you got squad leaders. And even if one of those guys was ordered, if you went down to even a PFC, and the general said to that PFC, you go over to my colonel in the eastern region and you tell him that I want him to advance and take region F. You tell him to go over and take region F. And you give him some document of proof that validates him to go over and do it. He can go over and stand before that colonel and say, PFC Grant, sir, reporting, sir, with a word, Lord, sir. From the general, sir. The general says, proceed. Go forth to region F. Take the country. All of a sudden, that colonel is taking orders from a PFC. Some of you don't see yourselves as more than a buck private. But you got the word of the Lord from the general God himself. And you are authorized to use it. God can speak to somebody. I mean, well, look at Gideon. Gideon would have been considered as a PFC. He's walking around out there and the Lord said to him, "Hail, Gideon, almighty man of valor." I'm just a buck private. Who is that calling my name, talking to me like that? And when Gideon went to do what he did Gideon fight the battle? Did he? All Gideon did was some stuff that God showed him to do. Then who fought the battle? Who overcame the enemy? The angel army! And you out there with a pitcher in one hand and a sword in the other, right? It's got a light in it. And you're saying, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And you strike the thing. Wait a minute, the sword's supposed to be used to strike the enemy. And you're striking your little lantern thing. Well, who destroyed the enemy? God didn't need but 300 of them because that's all it took to surround them. If he'd had more than that, they got in each other's way. So the angel armies of God overcame them. The Lord said in many instances, "You shall not have to fight in this battle." Why? Because the angel armies are doing the fighting. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Yes. Let's release some angel armies this morning. Stand to your feet. Come on, stand up. We're going to release the angel army, a troop of the angelic host of God, against the enemies of Israel. We're going to start in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The Jew first and then the Gentile. Hallelujah. Lord, today, in the name of Jesus, we release the angel armies of God against all of the enemies of Israel. We release the angel armies of God to bring down the enemy, to make them bow their knee to the Almighty God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is Lord. We release the angel armies of God against the enemy that has come against all Christians, burning churches, ravaging and destroying the people of God. We release the angel armies. The angel armies of God overcome the enemy of the church of the living God. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. All throughout the world. Hallelujah. We release the angel armies of God here in America to change the policies of our lawmakers, to help them to see that a nation that is established in righteousness is a blessing to all of the world. We release the angel armies to do warfare against all of the philosophies of men that would encourage abortion, same-sex marriage, and every other evil thing. We release the angel armies of God. Come on, clap your hands. Summon the angels. Summon the angels. Summon the angels. Hallelujah. Angels of the Most High God, we release you under the mandate and authority of God Almighty. We speak the spoken word of God, and you hearken and respond and obey. We release the fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Now give him another praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's why we have to have a revelation of the glory. Because we are in a place where we can do something about what's going on in the world. We're not to keep silent, stand by, and be overrun by evil. Well, we're to take our place in authority, in the glory. Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, assures us of our sonship. This is what he inherited. Amen. The earth is the Lord's. But he's leased it out to us. And because he's leased it out to us, he brings this revelation so that we can understand that we are free to do what he would do if he was here. You listen, if God comes back on the planet, guess when he's coming back? Look at what the Bible says about it. When his enemies have been made a footstool. Who's making them a footstool? We are. Hallelujah. You and I, baby. You and I are pulled. We're taking the enemy and making them into an ottoman. Glory to God. Amen. And say, Lord, come on, put your feet up on him. Rest a while. Praise the Lord. Relax, Lord, we got it. We got this, we got this. Relax. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Glory to God. Now, see, verse 18 is a good place to use this scripture because we without this revelation, have looked at it and it seems hard to us, you know? Well, let's go with verse 17. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. See, we look at that latter portion of that scripture, and we don't want to quote that. When you hear people preaching this, they aren't always quoting the last part. But you see, when you realize what it is that God's called us to do, which we just demonstrated, right? When you realize what God has called us to do, then you can say with Paul, but what of that? Amen. Look what we can do. My God, what of that? Come on, folks, look what we can do. So what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, and conferred on us. Now, you had the great privilege of just operating in that glory just for a brief moment. And I expect you and I will look in the news and we'll see where God is overcoming the enemy out there. In some ways, in just the next few days, you'll see it in the news. Because this is real. We're not playing. This is real. And this is what God uses to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in the earth. He's obligated to put the angels behind that word and send them out to do battle. And, you know, don't look at it like he just obligated because I said it. That's what he desires. He desires that. That's why he gives you the revelation, because he desires it. Amen. Hallelujah. But the time is coming. If we'll proceed and keep going forward, well, we'll just abide in the glory and operate it in it 24/7. That's right. We'll operate in it 24/7. But you see, the place of that wonderful, blissful experience comes with the price tag of you accepting your purpose. You've got to accept what your purpose is. And this is so wonderful. Why would you expect that it wouldn't cost you anything? It's so wonderful. Why would you expect that you would just slide into it easy? Huh? No, it costs you something.
Yes, it does.
See, that's why God will bring revelation to a person and say, it's not my will for you to get married. He'll bring that to that person because the place of glory for them is going to be a place where if they got married, their spouse wouldn't go with them. They wouldn't go anyway. It's like, I ain't going with you into that. See? But you see it as a glorious opportunity. They see it as suffering, depravity, no air conditioning, no malls to shop at. Can't ride around in my fine car there. Amen. Hey, Tarzan stayed in the jungle because he liked it. And because he obeyed God, God sent him Jane. What was the chimpanzee's name? Cheetah. Cheetah was praying, God send Jane. God send Jane. And when she came, Adam said, I mean Adam. And when she came, Tarzan said, oh! Woo, and all of creation went, well, she's here now. Amen. Boy, I'd like to see a good Tarzan movie this afternoon, wouldn't you? Anybody got a DVD of a real good Tarzan movie? I'd like to borrow it. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about a good one. Amen. Johnny Weissmuller. I mean, that dude was my hero, man. He didn't have no stuntmen. He wrestled with the alligator himself. He wrestled with the boa constrictor himself. That was a man. Glory to God. How in the world do you get off on all these things? And you talking about the glory. Because the glory was here before sentimentology. Before they did movies, the glory was here. And somebody was operating in it. It just tears me up like nobody's business. When I listen to Kenneth Hagin Sr. teaching sometimes, and he said it was back there in 1950, and I went to such and such, and God showed me this, and I'm thinking, we act like the move of God just started. That man back in 1950, a year before I was born, was experiencing visions and seeing angels and having visitation with Jesus. And I'm like, why was I born over here? I should have been in Texas where he was. I should be a Hagin. Somebody need to tell them they got a black child. Lord have mercy. I love it, man. It just blows me away when I listen to some of that stuff. 1952, here you go to talking. I'm like, dear God, I was just 1 year old. Why didn't somebody get me to that move of God? It says in verse 19, for even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly, longs earnestly for God's sons. That includes you, dear, just because it says sons. He's not leaving the women out. To be made known. So God wants this glory. God wants this to be on us to the point that he can just put us up before the world and say, look at my glorified ones. Look, just look on them. Look on these folk. Look on them. That's what he wants to do. See? That's what he wants to do. I mean, in a sense, that's what was going on with Job. God said, have you considered my glorified one? Have you? And the devil knew who he was. Out of all the people on the planet, the devil knew who Job was. Yeah, but you blessed him. That's right, he has blessed us. That's right. And the true blessing of the prosperity that God has given us is so great, it's immeasurable. So what you see that's tangible isn't the half of it.
Amen.
You got it? Because the true prosperity that God has given us resides in the born-again regenerate spirit that we have, where Jesus dwells, where the Holy Ghost lives. Glory to God. You know, people are fighting against the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but do you know, because they do, they miss revelation like I'm about to show you right here. You probably never heard this before. I haven't either. I just saw it. What must it have been like when the Spirit of Christ in you saw the Holy Ghost coming in through that gateway where he dwelt? Christ in you, the hope of glory, is there. You're born again. And then you receive faith to receive the Holy Ghost. Be baptized, be immersed into him. And you were. And the Holy Ghost entered in, walked into the place where the regenerate spirit is, where Christ dwells, and they both greeted each other. Hey, the only thing that makes any sense is tongues. There are no words that you can speak that can give expression to the Holy Ghost and Jesus meeting up inside of you. All you can do is say, Shando Balakatala de Bioso Bahataya da Makosata. Woo, the language of heaven. That's the Holy Ghost and Jesus talking to each other. Woo, glory to God. That's why your tongues change. It's the Holy Ghost one moment and Jesus the next. Shanda balakate. Brise briobotium barandu baribi. And then you say, praise God! You throw your English in there. Amen. Say, Lord, more! More glory! More glory! Hallelujah. Verse 20. For the creation, nature was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration. Nature itself was condemned to just frustrated. That's why the green is not green enough in the trees. That's why your grass can never come to its pristine beauty and glory like you want it to, no matter how much you nurture it and give it fertilizer. Amen. That don't work, so we aerate it. We just put holes in the ground. Just make it suffer more. Just punish her. It's already frustrated. It don't need for you to punch holes in it. It needs blessing on it. Glory to God. I learned all this from the Lauren Doctor. Amen. Not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, yet with hope. See, Adam subjected the earth to frustration through his acts of disobedience. And we're subjecting the earth to future hope through our obedience. Isn't that good? That nature, that creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of me, of you. The I Ams. Amen. I want to introduce the world to the I Ams, the I Am family. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. I Am. Hello, Miss I Am. Hello, Mr. I Am. Hallelujah. Well, where are you going? I'm going to a reunion. Oh, yeah, which one? The I Am family. Praise the God. We're going to have real banana pudding and real macaroni and cheese. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to have the real stuff. Amen. Sharp cheddar cheese. Glory to God. My God, when my grandmother was making that thing, I'd sneak and get a piece of that cheese when she wasn't looking. Because she's cutting it off in layers and letting it fall over on that macaroni. When she finished with the banana pudding, guess who cleaned the dish? My God, we didn't need no dishwasher. You saw a tongue like Michael Jordan's hitting that thing? Yep. Ooh, glory. Now, I am family. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. Mm. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too. That means we're moaning too. That's what we're supposed to be moaning to, right? Moaning for the glory. Who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality and from the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. So something tangible is happening when we step into the glory. Amen. There is a manifestation on our lives where we come to peace and at rest in ourselves before God, and we stop struggling. We stop the struggle. Amen. Deep helplessness and simple childlike rest and trust. That's where we'll be operating. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't fight them putting them in the furnace. And it was already heated up. I got to close. Lord Jesus. They didn't fight it. They stepped right in. They said, no, you first. No, you first. No, you first. And walked right into the fire, stood there, communicated with each other, and realized that Jesus was with them. And wouldn't you like to know what Jesus said to them? Well, we'll have to talk about that the next time. We're out of time. Praise the Lord. But for all of you that are watching this teleclass, I want you to know that you are helping to make it happen. And remember, we walk by faith and not by sight.